on a verse from Bhagavad Gita, I assume all or most of you have at least heard of Bhagavad Gita. I think many of you will have Bhagavad Gita in your house at least. But then there is another book that is called Srimad Bhagavatam. It is part of the Vedic scriptures, and it is taking the message of Bhagavad Gita a step further and expanding on the message of Bhagavad Gita. Whereas Bhagavad Gita is 700 verses, exactly 700. Srimad Bhagavatam is approximately 18,000. So it is going into the same subject matters, but very, very deeply. Now, in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is one verse towards the end which explains that in each of the different ages of the universe, different phases that the universe goes through, there is a particular religious practice which is the main practice, the most suitable and effective practice for that particular period of time. We are currently in... Do any of you know what the name of this age is that we're in? This Yuga. It is called something Yuga. Do any of you know? Kali Yuga. That's correct. It is the last of four, a cycle of four. First of all, there is Satya Yuga, Satyam Eva Jayate. This means the age of truth and purity. It's like a golden age. Everyone lives much longer, people are much nicer, and therefore they're much happier. The whole of society is much nicer and therefore much happier. That is called Satya Yuga. Then the second age is called Treta Yuga. That is, perhaps you could say, like a silver age. And then third is Dwapara Yuga. That is perhaps something like maybe a bronze age, something of that sort. And fourth, last is this Kali Yuga. Don't make the mistake of thinking that we're saying it is Kali Yuga. It is not Kali Yuga, it is Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga. And this is like an iron age. In fact, there's another verse which I'll tell you right now, which describes the qualities and the nature of this Kali Yuga, this Iron Age that we're in now. Prayanao Parisha Sabya Kalavasmin Yuge Jana Manda Sumanda Matayo Manda Bhagya Hupadruta. So that verse says, in this Iron Age of Kali, people are short-lived. What's the average life expectancy in South Africa, do you know? It's just a little, it's about 45 or 46. So many of us here, like me, we, according to that standard, we are living on borrowed time. Yes, we're already old. And if AIDS gets any worse, well, it is getting worse, so it will happen. The prediction is that within 10 years, the average life expectancy will be 38. How's that? This is Kali Yuga. It's very degraded. It's very degraded. Anyway, that verse says that in this Iron Age of Kali, people are short-lived. They're quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. That is the nature of life in the current time, isn't it? At least if you go into the big cities, perhaps out here in Ladysmith, where you're spared perhaps a little from the worst of what is going on in society in South Africa. Maybe a little different, but in Durban, Johannesburg, these places, it's terrible actually. Things have deteriorated tremendously. It's terrible. So this is Kali Yuga, the Iron Age, that age of hypocrisy and quarrel. So now, I was saying that in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is this verse which describes the qualities, the nature of each of these ages, and it describes the particular religious activities which are recommended by the scriptures, by God himself, as being the most effective in the different ages, depending on the prevailing social circumstances and the way people are and so on at those times. So that verse goes, Krite Yad Dhyayato Vishnum Tretiyam Yajato Makai Dwaparam Paracharyavam Kalo Tad Hari Kirtanat. Yes, maybe if you can understand a little Hindi, South African version Hindi, maybe you can follow a little bit of what was said there. Krite Yad, in that Krite Yuga, that meritorious age, Satya Yuga, that golden age, the recommended, not just recommended, but most effective practice was Dhyayato Vishnum, to meditate silently on Vishnu, on the Supreme Lord. Then, Tretiyam Yajato Makai, in the Treta Yuga, that second period, the recommended activity was Yajja, Yajna, fire sacrifice. It was the most effective, taking into consideration the circumstances, the social conditions, the natures of the people in general. It was most effective. Then, Dwaparam Paracharyavam, in the Dwapara Yuga, which is the third of the four ages. Paracharyavam, that means the process of deity worship. Just like we had our little altar there on your right-hand side, my far left-hand side. Of course, it's a very simple altar, but Paracharyavam means that altar worship, and generally of the actual deity, that carved form of the Supreme Lord. That was the recommended activity. But now we're in the Kali Yuga. Things have deteriorated tremendously. So that verse says, Kalo Tad Hari Kirtanat. In this Kali Yuga, Hari Kirtan, this practice of chanting the holy names of Hari, Krishna, the Supreme Lord. This is the recommended activity. This is the most effective activity. This is the most appropriate and simple activity which will work in this age of Kali. When we say work, what do we mean? What do we mean that some process will be effective? What will it do to us, which will show that it is working on us? Well, it will purify us. It will do two things in particular. one, the person, will develop love for God. Their lives will become God-centered, serving God, glorifying God, spreading the message of God. And two, their lives will become free from the degrading bad habits, sinful activities, which degrade people and which is so prominent in this Kali Yuga. Like you may know, I don't want to frighten any of you, too much at least, but we follow four regulative principles. Are you aware of that? There are four things in particular that we don't do. When I say we, I mean those who are really committed and who have taken vows and like this. Of course, we accept anyone, actually. But if someone is really going to become part of it and take it seriously, then there are four things we don't do. You remember I said we have to chant Hare Krishna like a child crying out for the mother? See, he's demonstrating there. We asked him to demonstrate. Doing a very good job, thank you. This is how you should chant Hare Krishna, okay? So there are four things we don't do. We don't take any intoxicants. We don't engage in illicit sex life. We don't eat meat, fish or eggs. And we don't gamble. These are four things. Now, I don't know if we have any Wild Coast fans out there or McDonald's fans out there. We don't want to offend you, please. We're not trying to really criticize or like that. But what I did say was that those who are really serious and committed and who want to move forward in their spiritual lives, then we tell them that you should stop these things, and if you do, that will help you, that will free you up from being involved in these other things which will hold you back spiritually. They'll free you up so you can move forward. Therefore, it's beneficial. In other words, we are speaking positively. We want you to move forward and get free of things that will hold you back. After all, I think we all know that alcohol is a terrible destroyer. And AIDS, well, I just mentioned, the average life expectancy in Europe or America is 75, increasing. Some countries, it's up to 80. In South Africa, well, according to these figures, I should be dead. You're meant to die by the time you're 48 because of AIDS. What does AIDS mean? It means indiscriminate sex, frankly. Isn't it? This is just a fact. That's all. We should face facts. So, our movement, we're not ordering people, you must do this, otherwise, you know, we don't want you. Not that, at all. But we tell you that if you want to help yourself, if you really want to move forward in positive ways in your spiritual life and improve your life, improve yourself, become much happier, much healthier, and so on and so forth, then you try to stop these things. Yes. So, in this Kali Yuga then, when we say that effective, a process is to be effective, then we should be able to look at the practitioner and see, is this person becoming attached to God? You know, what do they do at night, for example? Do they sit and just watch some useless television program? With all due respect to SABC, most of the content is of hardly any positive value? Or do they get together with their family members and do some God-conscious activities? After all, the majority of you at least are from India, and I suppose your predecessors were from some village situation in India. And what did they do at night? Did they sit in front of the TV or watch a Bollywood movie, Kuch Kuch Hota Hai, and think that this is Dharma, this is from India, it must be good? No, they would sit at night and read Ramayana and Mahabharata, isn't it? This is a fact. This was their evening program. So when I say that a process is effective, it means that it will change you like that. Instead of in the evening just sitting in front of useless television, that you'll get together with your family and have a Krishna conscious program together. Yes. In your house, instead of having pictures, you know, of Amitabh Bachchan or Raji Kapoor or Madhuri Dixit on the wall, or, you know, even worse, maybe some punk rock musicians if your children are going in that direction. Or, you know, some pictures of a bowl of flowers or a mountain, you know, just ordinary Western art. So, if a process is being effective on you, if it is working on you, then your house will reflect that. That you'll have nice pictures of Krishna and Ram and so on. And instead of in the main room, in the lounge, instead of the main thing being the TV with the video machine, Mnet decoder and other, you know, cultural items, that you will have a nice altar like this. Not back in some little cupboard where nobody will notice just by the back door, but in the lounge, in the main place. And the wife, the housewife, instead of cooking, what, mutton biryani, is that? Or something like this. But she'll prepare nice vegetarian food, which she will offer on the altar, and then serve that to the children and the husband. In other words, a God-conscious environment in the house. These are things you can see, not just some subtle internal thing. But these are very visible things. If you are practicing religion, and if it is working, if it is actually being effective and you're making progress, then it will be visible in forms like these. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he said, the way he put it one time, and it's very nice if you think about it, he said, that if a process, religious process, is working, then you will see that person is developing love for God and not love for dog. Now, we have nothing against dogs, but G-O-D and D-O-G, you know, it's the same thing, just around the other way. So Prabhupada means, instead of just loving and being absorbed in all the ordinary materialistic things, if one loves God, that will be visible in that one's life, will be clearly and obviously God-centered. And as a result, you, your family, everyone involved will be much happier. So this is what Krishna wants. This is why Krishna appeared. Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago or so Now I will read two famous verses, which I'm sure you've heard of at least, from the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, to remind us what is the purpose of our program today. So I will read from Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, verse 7 and verse 8. In verse 7, Lord Krishna says, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharat, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. And verse 8, Puritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chadushkritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge, to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion. I myself appear millennium after millennium. This is why Krishna appears. And I assume that the great majority of you have heard those verses before, at least. very important verses. This is why Krishna appears. When there's a decline in religious practice, a rise of irreligion, in order to deliver the pious, the devotees, in order to do away with the nonsense, and to re-establish dharma, the real principles of religion, this is why Krishna appears. So, of course, some people acknowledge the fact that nowadays the conditions are bad like that. Dharma has declined, and irreligion has risen, and even, you know, many of us as individuals, we're experiencing that within ourselves. So what should we do? Should we expect that Krishna will appear? Well, according to another one of the Vedic literatures, Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Lord is present in this age, in a very important form. There's one verse again. Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar. Kali Kale, in this time of the Kali Yuga, then Nama Rupe, in the form of the name, the holy names of the Lord, Krishna avatar, that is the form that the Lord is appearing in this Kali Yuga, in this age. This is in keeping with that other verse I mentioned from the Bhagavatam, which ended, Kalo tad hari kirtanat, that in this Kali Yuga, the prescribed, recommended, most effective process is chanting the holy names, particularly this Hare Krishna mantra, or any genuine name of God. So, here, in our Krishna Janmashtami festival, we have a message for you. In a sense, we have a number of messages. We want to have a nice birthday party for Krishna, a nice, jolly, happy occasion. But we want you to take a message away with you. Keep it with you afterwards. Take it into your hearts, into your lives. Apply it and see what happens. See how you benefit. We would like you to appreciate this point, that even though you may do many religious activities, we're not here to stop you necessarily doing whatever you may be doing. But please understand, that according to scripture, not according to, you know, my grandmother or someone like that, according to God, according to scripture, the prescribed method, the main process, the most effective process in this age is to chant the holy names. So our message would be, take the holy names with you. Include them in your life and see what happens, because they're very effective. They're very effective. I'll give you an example of how effective they are. I'm involved in our society here in South Africa. I'm also involved in our society in Russia. And particularly in Russia, I'm involved in Siberia. You've heard of Siberia, the salt mines? So, I'm involved there. You know how many Indian people they have in Siberia? It's approximately that many. It's in the region of zero. But in Siberia, we have hundreds and thousands of Hare Krishna devotees. In one town where I go every year, it is about the size of Pietermaritzburg. They have 18 Namahatas. 18. And every month they have a gathering. All the Namahatas come together for a festival every month, once a month. And there are as many people as we have sitting in the tent today. But when we tell them to chant Hare Krishna, you know, put your hands in the air and take a deep breath and so on, they are about twice as loud as you, with all due respect. Really, they get into it. In other words, it is working. It is effective. It is actually doing something to them, something very substantial. Because they are focusing on this chanting of Hare Krishna. Now, we, like in the Satya Yuga, I said, the recommended process was silent meditation on Vishnu. That was the most effective under the circumstances. Can you imagine doing silent meditation now? Particularly if you're living in a city. You know, can you imagine in Chatsworth, I don't know if you're familiar with Chatsworth, there you are in Unit 5 or Unit 3 or anywhere in Chatsworth. There you are, now you're sitting down, you're trying to meditate silently. Then what happens? The taxi goes by, right? Every 2 minutes, a taxi has to go by playing the music, you know? Boom, 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 music. So-called music. So there you are, you're trying to meditate. In the next room is your, you know, wife or some lady. Got the TV on, full blast, video. It's, if not Kuch Kuch Hota Hai, it's Chori Chori Chupke Chupke, right? It's going, there they are. And there you are, trying to silently meditate. Then in the other next room is your daughter. She's more on the disco, you know, so-called English music side of things. And she's got, I don't know who, maybe it's Michael Jackson or someone just going like mad. And there's you trying to meditate. Good luck, we say, because you need it. But even with good luck, it won't work. And that's why it doesn't work. It doesn't work. I used to do that silent meditation back in the late 60s, more than 30 years ago. It was very fashionable in the Western world. Oh, very big. So I would try and sit and listen and meditate. In the next room, my brother would be playing the Rolling Stones, and it didn't work. But then I took up this chanting of Hare Krishna, and it did work. You know, we go out chanting down Fifth Avenue, New York. And you know what that's like? Oxford Street, London. You know what that's like. In the middle of these big cities, in the middle of the day, so much noise, and motor cars and fumes, and the shops with all the advertisements, and so many people and so on. But even when you're in such a negative environment, such a negative environment, but that chanting of the holy names is so effective, it lifts you right out of it. Can you imagine doing a fire sacrifice on Fifth Avenue? Of course not. You know, they'd arrest you. You know, frankly, I've been to so many fire sacrifices and listened to the local pundit, you know, chanting the mantras. And, you know, I've been around a bit. I go to India twice a year and, you know, I understand a certain amount of Hindi, Sanskrit. And I listen to them chanting the mantras. And I tell you what, sometimes you may not know, but they're chanting some, you know, just some kitchen Hindi mantra. Some funny words. Bhojpuri. It's not Sanskrit. To do these fire sacrifices properly, effectively, is not so easy. Actually, we do these things. We do these things. Just a few days ago, actually, 2 weeks ago today, we did the first fire sacrifice in this Kali Yuga in Soweto. How's that? Soweto. Fire sacrifice. But done properly with the Sanskrit mantras by a qualified Brahmin. Very nice. But this chanting is so much easier and more effective, particularly under these circumstances. What about the altar worship? In the Dwapara Yuga, the age just before this age, when Krishna appeared actually, then that temple worship, altar worship, that was the recommended activity. That was what people were told to focus on. Now we do that, and we encourage householders living at home to also have some simple altar, do some altar worship, some temple worship at home. And we do it more elaborately in Chatsworth, in our temple there. But to actually do that deity worship to the first class standard, first of all, you need at least 12 people. Like, if you've seen our temple in Chatsworth, the altar there, very beautiful, the most beautiful in South Africa by far. But it takes at least 12 people full time to maintain that standard. Food is offered 6 times a day. And that means full meal 6 times a day. Elaborate 30-minute arati 6 times a day. The deity is addressed 6 times a day. Each outfit costs how much? 10 or 15,000 rands. Around 10,000 rands. And this is a very simple standard. So in this age, not that we say, don't do these things are wrong. No, how can they be wrong? They're in scripture. But in this day and age, according to scripture, and just in objective, observable terms, these more elaborate and more demanding processes are not so effective. But this chanting is very effective. The Russians, thousands of them, are becoming Hare Krishna devotees. You know, some of you who are a little older might remember Leonard Brezhnev, who was the president of Russia going back perhaps 20 years. He is famous for making a statement that in Russia there are three great dangers for our youth. Rock and roll music, blue jeans, and Hare Krishna. Now we feel honored that Leonard Brezhnev would say such a thing. But my point is, it is having an effect. It is working. In Soweto, we have many very nice devotees all over the world because it works. And it will work for you. Just try it. Just try it yourself. As I said, we are not telling you, you can't do this, you can't do that, this is wrong, we want to criticize you. We're not saying this. We're saying just add this. Add this, and then you see for yourself, you make up your mind, and you decide where to take it from there. Once you have experienced it a little and know what you're dealing with, then you decide. You decide. So this is what we're offering to you on this day of Krishna Janmashtami, the birthday of Krishna. We are offering you Krishna. We are offering you God, particularly in the form of His holy names. In the form of His holy names. You can have His company. You can have His association. He is present in His holy names. So when you chant, He is dancing on your tongue and dancing into your ears and dancing into your heart. And this is a very wonderful experience. So I'll close now by just telling you one little story. I hope it's appropriate. It is about a Hare Krishna devotee from England who died at the end of last year, but he was very famous. His name was George Harrison from the Beatles. Have you heard of George Harrison? I'm sure you've all heard of George Harrison, because in Russia, you know what? Everyone's heard of George Harrison. Every last senior citizen, George Harrison is like a universal person. So, I joined our movement in England eventually at the end of 72. And George Harrison was involved, so we would see him from time to time. He would come. Occasionally we'd go and visit him. One day I went with another devotee who was very close to him. We went to visit George Harrison. So George Harrison told us how he got into Krishna consciousness. The first thing which really struck him and had an effect and woke him up to Krishna consciousness. How he got into this chanting. So he told us that he and the other Beatles had already been in India and done some meditation and so on and so on. One day, John Lennon and George, in the morning, early about 7, somehow they just started chanting Hare Krishna, playing their guitars and so on. And they just started chanting Hare Krishna. And a couple of hours later, someone came and said, you know, it's breakfast time, come and have breakfast. They just carried on singing Hare Krishna. Around 12 or 1, someone came and said, time for lunch, you should stop now. They just carried on. You know, now this is from 7 o'clock, now it's maybe 1 o'clock. This went on into the evening. Finally, they stopped at 5 o'clock the next morning. They had chanted non-stop for 22 hours and just been totally absorbed in it. And he said, this was what convinced him about Hare Krishna. He had already done that silent meditation. That was why I got into it, because I knew the Beatles had got into it. So he'd already done that silent meditation, but now he chanted Hare Krishna, he saw there was a tremendous difference in the effect. So I asked George Harrison, I said, what would it have been like if you had sung one of your Beatles songs for 22 hours? Like, I said, a song like, I Want to Hold Your Hand. Did you ever hear of that song? We have some old Beatles fans out there. Anyway, there's one song, it's a rather silly song, but it's called I Want to Hold Your Hand, and it was immensely popular, fantastically popular. So I asked him, what would it have been like if you had sung I Want to Hold Your Hand for 22 hours? George Harrison laughed, and he sort of thought for a second, and he said, well, I think it would have been a hard day's night. You get that? All right, you got that. In other words, it's a fact. It would have just been too much. Can you imagine? I mean, you might not like I Want to Hold Your Hand, and that would be good, actually, as far as I'm concerned. But can you imagine singing the theme song to Kuch Kuch Hota Hai for 22 hours? Can you imagine? I can't. I think you'd go mad before you got halfway through. But this chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna is there within it. Therefore, there is a very profound and wonderful spiritual experience which comes from it easily and quickly to anyone. We want you to experience that. So please, just add. That's all. Just add Krishna, particularly in the form of his holy names. Just add that to your life. If you want to know the details, how to do it, how to set up everything and do it nicely, then you can see our devotees just here on my right. Just come forward a little. This is Rochan Prabhu. He is the leader. He is the head of our Hare Krishna movement in Ladysmith. Okay? Here he is right there. You got him. So now, if you want to know how to do it, the most, you know, the nicest way, most effective way, just speak to him or the other devotees and they'll help you. It's very easy. A child can do it. And it's so nice. So this is our message to you for Krishna Janmashtami. Thank you very much for listening very patiently. And take this with you. And now we'll hand you back over again to our MC. Srila Prabhupada Kirtan.